Today is the third Sunday of Lent, and the work continues at St. Pius V School of building the new school. Yesterday, a group of men were busy drilling holes and pulling conduit throughout the school, which is the next phase of construction. Now that all the studs, most of the studs are in place and most of the rough framing is done. But in order for works like these and all works to continue at the school, we do need support and the funds, especially funds that we receive through the $10,000 raffle tickets. Now this year we're a little low in our sales of the tickets, so we just encourage you to please bring them home, sell them to family members or friends. It's a pretty good turnaround. If 10 people each spend $10 on a ticket and they win, each of the 10 people will still take home $1,000. So it's a pretty nice turnaround on the ticket, and we do need to sell as many of those as we can so that work on the school can continue to take place. Now, next week, we have the confirmations here at the chapel, confessions for the confirmandi, those being confirmed and their sponsors, will be heard on Friday, this Friday, March 28th, beginning at 6 p.m. Then this will be followed by a mandatory practice for all those to be confirmed and their sponsors. The practice will begin at 7:30 p.m. Then on Saturday, Bishop Sante will be administering the sacrament of confirmation. The ceremony begins at 9 a.m. here next Saturday, but the confirmandi and their sponsors must arrive at the chapel by 8:30. And again, we would just ask you to please remind those who may be coming to attend the confirmation ceremonies, whether it's sponsors or guests, to wear the proper dress in accord with the Blessed Sacrament being here in the chapel. And finally, since confirmation is such an important sacrament, Bishop has told us that for those who would be having a celebration in honor of confirmation next Saturday, they would be able to consider themselves dispensed from the Lenten fast. So that's anyone having a celebration or partaking in the confirmations next Saturday, they would be dispensed from the Lenten fast. Now, the epistle appointed to be read for the third Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, be ye therefore followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you, as becometh saints, or obscenity, or foolish talking, or scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know you this, and understand that no fornicator, or unclean, or covetous person, which is the serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, he casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting asked him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all the armor wherein he trusted and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest and not finding, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these words, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that nursed thee. But he said, Yea, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, because he who is mighty hath done great things to me. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, on Holy Thursday night, our divine Savior was taken by a mob numbering over 1,000 men. A holy and learned Passionist priest named Father Seraphim has described this scene for us, taking his sources from the writings of the Father and sacred scripture. Father Seraphim records that over 1,000 men came to the garden to seize our Lord. The majority of these men were a division of guards and soldiers who had come from the temple police. Added to this band, there were priests, lawyers, scribes and Pharisees, even servants and slaves. In fact, it seemed that the entire Hebrew nation was represented by this crowd. No class among the Jews failed to send a representative to see that our Lord was finally captured. And what made this band so truly terrible was that at their head marched one of our Lord's own apostles, the traitor Judas. The remaining 11 apostles were terrified by this crowd. They were helpless to free our Lord, and they were stunned at the diabolical apostasy of Judas. In this state of fear and helplessness, all of our Lord's closest followers abandoned him. St. Thomas the Apostle, who had just a few weeks before told the rest of the apostles, Let us go with him up to Jerusalem, that we may die with him. He now lacked the courage to carry out his resolution. St. Peter also fled, even though it was just a few hours before at the Last Supper, he had boldly declared, Although all shall be scandalized in thee, I will never be scandalized. Our Lord warned him that he too would flee, but Peter would not believe it. And so he declared again in front of all the other apostles, Yea, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee. Of course, though, we know our Lord was right, and the terrors of the garden proved too much, even for the self-assurance of Peter. And thus, when our Lord allowed himself to be taken by this band of Jews, he was taken alone. But our Lord did not will to die alone, and so it happened that one of the apostles returned. One apostle found the strength and the courage to follow his Lord and Master all the way to Calvary. This was the beloved apostle John. St. John regained his faith and found his courage by going to the only person who had not lost faith in our Lord's divinity. He went to the Blessed Mother. All of the other apostles were terrified. They'd lost their faith and they were hiding somewhere in Jerusalem, hoping to avoid the Jewish mob. But strengthened by the help and the company of Mary, St. John boldly followed his Master and even stood beneath his cross for 3 hours. It was here beneath the cross that our Lord bestowed a most precious gift upon St. John and his entire church. For it was here that he instituted devotion to his most blessed mother. For all time, our Lord wanted his faithful children to follow St. John's example. He wanted all those who profess the Catholic faith to go to his blessed mother in their hours of greatest need. And so it was in the person of St. John that our Lord gave his mother to the entire church. Looking down from the cross, our Lord first addressed his mother. He told her, "Woman, behold thy son." And at that moment, Our Lady was given a special grace to love St. John and all the members of the Catholic Church as a mother. Now, naturally speaking, she could not have loved so many millions of souls with a mother's love. But since that day, since she received that grace, she can and she does love each and every single individual as one of her own children. And thus she has never ceased to love and protect us. After she was given the grace to be our mother, St. John was given the grace in the name of the whole church to have a son's love for Mary. Our Lord told St. John, "Son, behold thy mother." She truly became then the mother of all men. With these words, "Behold thy mother," she especially became the mother of all Catholics. Our Lord told St. John to behold his mother as if to say, "I give her to you and to the entire church. I am about to leave, but I tell you and the church to come to love her as I have always loved her. Honor her as I have honored her. Respect and imitate her virtues even as you place all your confidence in her." And so began devotion to our Blessed Lady. It began with one frightened, terrified young man who had lost his faith, fleeing to Our Lady for courage and strength. And it will only end when the last soul receives the last grace through her hands from her divine Son at the end of time. Now, my dear friends, this Tuesday we will celebrate the Feast of Our Lady's Annunciation. This feast, of course, commemorates the wonderful events of our Lord's incarnation. And St. Bonaventure tells us that the greatest grace that can be bestowed upon a creature was granted to Our Lady after she humbly accepted God's will to become the mother of the Redeemer. This grace was that she did, in fact, become the mother of God. And speaking of this event, St. Albert the Great astoundingly declared that Mary could not have been more closely united to God than she was at this time, without becoming God. That is to say, not even God could raise a creature to a closer unity with him than he did with Our Lady at the Annunciation. And to raise her to any higher, he would have had to make her a God. Thus, theologians unanimously teach that after the Annunciation, Our Lady's dignity was far greater than that of any angel or saint. This is why Our Lady was inspired to sing out in her Magnificat, "He that is mighty hath done great things to me." She realized better than anyone else what it meant to be the Mother of God. She understood that this grace could never be sufficiently explained. And so she simply prayed, "He that is mighty hath done great things to me." And this greatness of grace, this incomprehensible dignity which God bestowed upon her, she uses to fulfill the mission which was entrusted to her at the foot of the cross. Her mission as the Mother of God and Mother of all members of the Church. All those in need of any grace can now go to her and confidently approach Our Lady as St. John did that first Good Friday morning. He had abandoned our Lord, but he had to get himself back on the right path, so to speak. And he did this by going to Our Lady for help. When all seems helpless then in our lives, as it must have for St. John, we must remember that Our Lady is there and ready to help us. And as a loving mother who is known for her humility, it's easy for us to approach her. After all, we know even in dealing with each other that it's easiest to approach a humble person when we are in need, especially if we don't deserve the gift that we're asking for. As long then as we're determined not to offend her or her divine Son by sin, there is no prayer that she will not send us a proper grace in answer to. Even if in the past we've not been perfectly faithful to her, as long as we're resolved to remain faithful now to her and her divine Son, her humility will overlook our past and concentrate on our present needs. Let us then, as we approach the Feast of the Annunciation, determine to ask Mary for the help and the grace in all the things we need, especially during this season of Lent. We're now about halfway through Lent, my dear friends. It is time to ask ourselves if we have been making a good Lent. Have we followed the laws of fast and abstinence? Have we been faithful to our Lenten resolutions? If we have, let us thank Our Lady for this grace, which most assuredly comes from her hands, and ask her to continue to help us throughout the rest of Lent. If we have fallen or forgotten our resolutions, let us again ask Mary to help us get back on track and salvage what is left of this holy season of Lent. Use this holy and penitential season, then, to increase your devotion to our most exalted and loving Mother. If you go to her in all your trials, she will help you as she helped St. John. She will help you to remain faithful to her divine Son. And my dear friends, when all is said and done, remaining faithful to our Lord and saving our souls is all that really matters. And if our lives resemble the terrors or the trials of Good Friday, it is Our Lady who will help us to persevere until it's our time to enjoy the glories of Easter Sunday. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.